Hey guys, James here. Hope you're well. Hope you enjoy this episode. This is the Barrel House Radio from this last week, where we went through the top 20 artists as voted for by you lot. This is the version, because it's a podcast, where I have to very much trim down the music clips. There's a 2 hours plus version, which is now on Patreon and will be on Mixcloud for Barrel House Radio very shortly. So do make sure you go and check that out if you want to actually enjoy the music. And also, as a little bonus here, stay tuned at the very, very end, because I've dug out some very rare audio of Alan McGee pitching Oasis to a Sony rep back in 1993. So that's definitely worth a listen. And thank you to Andy Rogers for helping me put that together. All right. Anyway, so on with the show.
All right, it's me, and I want to thank everyone at the Oasis podcast. As you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast Radio Show. I hope you guys are well. That was The Ruttles with Number One. And the reason for that is today we are going to be counting down the top 20 artists as chosen by the Oasis Podcast listeners and followers on social media. And The Ruttles aren't in there, but the band that they are a copy of might just be in there somewhere. And I saw a few people criticize this. Oh, what's the point of doing a top 20 of Oasis podcast fans, because obviously Oasis are going to win? Well, Oasis might well win. We'll see when we get there, but hey, it's going to be good fun on the journey, on the way, to see who does take number one, and and to see who make the top 20. Very interesting. So we will get there, but first, what we're going to do is I asked if some of the listeners had any particular choices they wanted me to play. So let's go through those first. And the first one comes from our good friend and host of the Sound Effects podcast, Katie Georgiou.
Hi, James. It's Katie here. I hope you're well. I'd really like to request a song called Wounded by Tom All Alone and the 78s. I put Tom All Alone and the 78s in my top 10. They're not a really well-known band. They were signed about 10 years ago or so, a bit longer than that, actually. And they made one album, but then they had to break up because they couldn't make it work financially, which was a real shame because they were such a good band. I wanted to play Wounded because that was one of my favourite songs by them. If anyone is interested in their album, it was called Major Sins Part 1. And in case you're wondering about the name Tom All Alone, it's actually Tom Alaloni. It's an Italian name. But because he grew up in Gravesend, people saw the name and saw it looked like All Alone, and they called him Tom All Alone. So it became a bit of a nickname for him, and he used to walk around on his own as well, so it kind of fit him. That's Tom All Alone and the 78s, and the song is Wounded. Thank you, bye.
Can you see that I'm wounded? Can you see what you've done? Till you stop holding.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Katie, for choosing that tune. That was absolutely fantastic. And I really like that sound. It's got that kind of 60s tremolo-y kind of throwback sound, a bit like the Dead 60s and people like that. But All good. Thank you very much. Right. What else? This is over to Sean.
Hi, James. It's Sean, one of your Oasis podcast Patreon members. So the track I would request from that top 10 list would be... I'm going to go for the hip-hop angle, because I'm pretty sure Liam is a big hip-hop fan. I was certainly into hip-hop in the 90s. And I think there's that story where Noel went to see U2 and Public Enemy, I think, at the same gig in Manchester. So A Tribe Called Quest, for me, is one of the best hip-hop acts ever. Probably the best hip-hop act, in my opinion. And I'm going to request Electric Relaxation by A Tribe Called Quest.
Brilliant stuff! Great tune from A Tribe Called Quest. Thank you, Sean, for the request. Yeah, great stuff. There were a few shouts for hip hop acts. A lot of 90s hip hop acts, as you might imagine, being the Oasis podcast, hasn't really filtered through to the top 20, because the top 20 does tend to be quite white, quite guitar based, and quite British with a few Americans, as you might imagine. But yeah, there were a few shouts for hip-hop. So we had shouts for Tupac, the Beastie Boys, Cypress Hill, Nas, NWA, Public Enemy got quite a few votes, Run DMC, and Wu-Tang got a few shouts. So yeah, so look, it is mainly white and not very hip-hop, but there are quite a few hip-hop artist in there, and I'll talk about my top 20 in a bit. I didn't end up putting any hip-hop artists in there, although I do like a fair bit of hip-hop myself, and someone like Jurassic 5 is a act I go back to quite a lot, same as Public Enemy as well. And then if I was doing a best album poll, then definitely in my top 10 or top 20 would have been The Streets, both the original Pirate Material and the Grand Don't Come For Free albums, are both absolutely brilliant. But it's tricky with the top 10 artists or top 20 artists, because they're two classic albums, but then beyond that, I don't really like his other stuff. So what does that mean when you're picking an artist? Because there are a bunch of other people here that I would have included, and maybe I only like one or two albums of theirs. So it is a funny one, really, when you're picking your favourite artist. But anyway, right, who's next? Our good friend and author of the Oasis podcast official book, some might say, is Richard.
Hello, JC. It's Richard Bowes here. Hope the radio show is going well. I'd like to put in a couple of requests, please. From my top 10 artists, I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I'm going to do two for one with requesting Lonely Soul by DJ Shadow, which also features Richard Ashcroft, him and The Verve I put in my list, and also That's Where You're Wrong by Arctic Monkeys, please, just because I think it's a perfect summer tune for this probably too hot weather we're all having. Cheers, mate. Hope all's well.
God knows your lonely souls. God knows your lonely souls.
Thank you.
Great choices. Thank you, Richard. Three for the price of one there with DJ Shadow, or Uncle as it was, with James Lavelle, and Richard Ashcroft with Lonely Soul. And that was the 4-minute version, not the 9-minute version that I played there. And I do love the 9-minute one, but it's a bit much for a radio show. And and then one of a great Arctic Monkeys tune. They really know how to close an album, don't they? That's from Suck It and See. What a fantastic tune. Some great lines in there. And I love that that sort of real New Order kind of New Order sound to it, with the bass and those choppy sort of big open guitars. I think it's a great tune. And we may well be hearing a bit more from Arctic Monkeys once we get into the top 20 breakdown. Let's see, shall we? Right, we have another request here. This is from Matt.
Hey, just replying to your tweet about the top 10s. The 101, even though it's not number one, is if you could play Words by Doves, that would be amazing. That song just encapsulates just emotion for me, and every time I hear it, I have to stop exactly what I'm doing, listen to it, and it's just so beautiful. If you could play that, that'd be amazing, from Matt Fields. Brilliant, thanks very much.
Great choice, great song. Thank you very much, Matt. Yeah, it really does. That is a tune that stops you in your tracks. I know exactly what you mean. Certain songs just grab you, and like, you know, you're pulling into your drive with it playing in the car, and you're like, no, actually, I need to just sit in my car and listen to the last 3 minutes of this or whatever it is. Yeah, what a tune. Right, now we're going to move into the top 20 here. So just to clarify, this is the top 20 as voted by the Oasis podcast listeners on Twitter and on Instagram. And what I did is I asked for everyone's top 10 bands or artists. And then how I collated it is, if you voted someone number one, they got 10 points. Number two, they got 9 points, etc. If you chose someone as number 10, they got 1 point. And I collated them all into a spreadsheet. It took me ages because we had about 150, I think, entries in the end, which was fantastic. And yeah, it took me ages, but it was good nerdy fun to do, to sort it all out. And yeah, it's a really, really interesting result. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count down the whole, like, the top 40 effectively, and then we'll pick up any specific interesting ones to discuss, and then I'll actually be playing tunes from the top 20 or there and thereabouts. So a very interesting one. So number 40 and number 39 on joint points was how come this happened? Joy Division and New Order are both joint sort of 39-40. Yeah, amazing that happened, when actually they were effectively the same band, or the next stage of the same band after we sadly lost Ian Curtis. So I'm going to play a tune by them, and what I'm going to do is play Ceremony by New Order, because it was actually a Joy Division song that was recorded by New Order after Ian Curtis died, the first thing they did. So here we go with Joy Division / New Order. Such a great sound, isn't it? That incredible Pete Hook bass, driving everything. Fantastic. That was a Ceremony from New Order. And we're going to be heading into the top 40. Let's just give you a rundown of counting down from 40. We have New Order, Joy Division, Fleetwood Mac, The Libertines, Cortinas, Guns N' Roses, Pulp, Bob Dylan, Primal Scream, Coldplay, Radiohead, Charlatans, The Doors, Bruce Springsteen, Green Day, Prince, Queen, and that takes us to 23. Now, another interesting one here. Number 23 is Paul Weller, and number 22 is The Jam. The Jam outscored Paul Weller by about 7 points. So let's have a tune from the later days of The Jam, shall we? This is Beat Surrender. Beat Surrender there by The Jam. That's one of my absolute favourite Paul Weller tunes from his entire career. I absolutely love it. Yeah, I was quite surprised that either The Jam or Weller didn't make top 10. Maybe people split the vote. Maybe they thought, well, if I'm going to pick one or the other, I'm not going to pick the other one in the top 10. Maybe that split it, and that's why they didn't turn up. But yeah, they didn't quite make my top 10. I do absolutely love The Jam. I listen to them a lot. But yeah, not quite in my top 10. So I'll just give you my top 10. So I had 10, Marvin Gaye. At 9, Dusty Springfield. At 8, The Super Furry Animals. At 7, The Pogues. 6, Billy Bragg. 5, David Bowie. 4, The Small Faces. 3, The Who. 2, Oasis. And 1, The Beatles for me. So that's where I've gone. It's really tough. I mean, having a similarly here, you know, I've got quite a wide range of music taste, and yeah, I kind of end up, whenever I think of like a top 10 albums or songs or bands, I always find myself going for like the bands from British rock history: Beatles, Oasis, Who, Small Faces, you know, whereas actually, you know, there's so much other music out there, but for some reason I just feel myself drawn to, you know, picking those bands as the big bands. But yeah, someone like Marvin Gaye, for instance, he makes it into the top 10 for me because, you know, there's albums like What's Going On, absolute classic, Let's Get It On. But then for me, it's the stuff he did with Tammy Terrell, all those amazing duets that I just think are absolutely incredible. That's sort of some of the my favourite music ever recorded. So I absolutely love Marvin Gaye. Dusty Springfield is my favourite female vocalist. Definitely my favourite female white vocalist of all time. I absolutely love Dusty. I think she's brilliant. I live not too far from Henley, and that's where she's buried. And so anytime I go to Henley, I just pop past her gravestone there. So just to say hello to Dusty as I go past. 8, I've got the Super Furry Animals because I just think they're so inventive. The changes they've made over the years, the fact that they still make incredible pop music, but with this progressive, so many ideas, and their albums over the years, I just, they're magic. I always find myself drawn to them. The Pogues meaning a lot to me growing up with Irish family. You know, that combination of the Irish and that with that punk spirit. I absolutely love it and listen to the Pogues all the time. Shane McGowan, a hero of mine. Billy Bragg, similarly, is an absolute hero of mine at number 6. For those of you that didn't know, I did Mastermind a few years ago. And yeah, and Billy Bragg was the subject that I did in the second round on Mastermind. Because I've, you know, I'm just fascinated by him, and he's just absolutely one of my heroes. Number 5, David Bowie, enough said, just the back catalogue from that guy, and just when you look at the amount of just incredible songs, incredible albums, the level of artistry is up there with some of the greatest music ever made. Small Faces, very specifically, there's just so much energy and passion about them. Yeah, they don't have the artistry probably of David Bowie or someone, but or Radiohead, for instance, but I just always go back to the Small Faces. They've just got so much about them, and Marriott's vocal and his guitar and the bass playing and everything about it. I just love it. And Tin Soldier is probably my favourite song of all time, outside of the Beatles at least. I've got The Who at 3, just tipping The Small Faces, probably just because they've had a bit more longevity. But yeah, similarly, in terms of a band of four individual people, I don't think you get much better than The Who. You know, as four individual players, Pete Townshend as a songwriter, they're just unassailable. And then obviously I've got Oasis and The Beatles 2 and 1, and I've just gone for The Beatles over Oasis. As much as I love Oasis, you can't get away from the fact that The Beatles are the best band, are the best artists of all time. I absolutely love them. Right, let's have a tune from a band that was just outside the top 20. This is Nirvana. They didn't make my top 10, but I do really, really like Nirvana, particularly like the Nevermind album, obviously, is brilliant. And also the Unplugged in New York was a really, really big album for me when I was a teenager. Really special record. So let's have a bit of Nirvana Breed, and then I promise you we will be getting into the top 20. Really powerful stuff there from Nirvana. Absolutely love that. So many tunes I could have chosen, but yeah, that song, always just flicking through their list and you think, yeah, why not have a bit of that. All right, so we're into the top 20 now, and we've got at 20 we have Ocean Colour Scene, and at 19 we have REM. So we're going to play from Ocean Colour Scene, we're going to play the tune Robin Hood, which is probably one of their lesser known songs, but is, I know, a big fan favourite. And just a little bit of a change of pace. And then after that, because it's REM, I'm going to go with a big tune for me of theirs from the 90s, which is What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
When you're starting to choke, take some pills with your coke. It's inspirational. When your life is a mess, light one more cigarette. It's so logical. Well, it's something your mother can't abide. When you're starting to choke, take some pills with your coke. It's hysterical.
That was What's the Frequency, Kenneth by REM, and before that you heard Robin Hood by Ocean Colour Scene. Ocean Colour Scene, one of those bands that I think over the years have probably grown in stature after the Britpop era. I know that our friend James, who does Britpop Memories Twitter page, he'll often sort of, if he posts stuff about Blur, then he might get 3 or 4 responses. He's post stuff about Ocean Colour Scene, it'll be 50 responses. You know, there's still a real love for them. And I think similar to Shed Seven as well, were probably, you know, one of the lower kind of ranked bands in the 90s, but actually now they're the ones that are selling out arena tours, whereas other bands that were much bigger than them back in the 90s are now sort of, you know, doing sort of pub pub sort of level shows. So interesting, isn't it, which bands kind of are able to have that longevity. Very interesting. Right. And then we had a bit of REM there as well, who were obviously the biggest band in the world for a while in the 1990s. There's that famous shot of Liam Gallagher standing on stage from behind that a lot of people kind of incorrectly assume is Nebworth, when it's actually Slane Castle. It's Oasis supporting REM at Slane Castle. So that sort of shows in around that time how big REM were, that they had Oasis supporting them in Ireland. Right, next up we have another joint. So we had Ocean Colour Scene was 20, REM was 19, joint 17th. We have U2 and we have the Stereophonics. Really interesting to me that Stereophonics scored so highly. I really loved the first album. When the tune Bartender and the Thief came out to build up to the second album, you know, I was really excited to get that album, Performance and Cocktails. Personally, I think they kind of tailed off after then. I loved the first album because it was full of stories. You know, I was talking to Eddie Temple Morris about this on the podcast, about how when they first started, a lot of their songs were story songs, and you could really kind of follow all these kind of little tales of suicides and really interesting little details of small town life. And I think that kind of went away a bit over the years. Now, don't forgive me, I haven't listened to all their albums all the way through, all, you know, for the last 20 years, but they just didn't jump out as me as much in the previous years. But obviously a lot of love for them, because they finished ahead of some absolute heroes and icons and legends of the music industry, and they've come in level with U2. So U2 are not a huge band for me over the years. I've, you know, liked a lot of stuff they've done. I went to see them on the Pop Tour. That was the one where the Big Lemon came out. And the one thing I was really amazed by seeing them live was just how many tunes they've got. And they're just built for stadiums. There's so many songs that have got a bit where you can just, you know, put your arms in the air and sing along to. And it's really, you can just see how they're just tailor-made for that sort of performance. And then looking at Coldplay over the last sort of 10-15 years, you think they've done exactly that. They've built their songs with bits in them, with like big oh bits, specially built for stadiums. And it is quite interesting to see. So yeah, I'm going to go with the song that was like the most exciting for me when Stereophonics, I thought they were really at their peak, which is Bartender and the Thief. And then also with U2, probably my favourite tune of theirs is the song from the Batman Forever soundtrack, which is Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. Right, you are still listening to the Oasis Podcast Radio Show, where we are counting down the top 20 artists as chosen by Oasis Podcast listeners. And we've done Ocean Colour Scene, REM, Stereophonics and U2, counting down from 2017. Now at 16, we have the Foo Fighters, a band that have just been so consistent for so many years. When you think Nirvana had about, what, 4 or 5 years in the limelight, obviously then we lost Kurt, but Foo Fighters, it's just been non-stop, you know, so many albums, so many huge headline shows at Glastonbury, and everyone just loves Dave Grohl by the sounds of it. they love Oasis, which is great. Taylor Hawkins has often had Liam O'Neill on his drums, which is brilliant. But I do really like the Foo Fighters. They're not one of my favourite bands, but I do love them. And I'd go with Everlong as my favourite tune by theirs. I remember seeing the video for that, probably MTV2 back in the day, and just thinking it was great. You know, nothing sort of sums up kind of weird dreams as much as that crazy video did. If you haven't seen that, you've got to check it out. It's really incredible. And Taylor Hawkins, strangely attractive as a woman, made me have... maybe question certain things and move on. And number 15, then, moving into the top 15, we have my number 3 choice, which is The Who. So very low for me personally that The Who are down in 15th, but understandable when you can see some of the people we've got coming up. For The Who, I've gone with a tune that's got a bit more personal resonance. This is Getting in Tune, from the Who's Next sort of era. And for me, the reason I picked this is when I was in a band, one of the things you have to do when you sound check is check the microphone. For those that don't know, I was the inverted commas singer in the band. Didn't really sing very well, but there we go. But one of the things that you have to do, which is quite embarrassing, is when it's time for sound check, you have to stand there and sing a cappella. Sometimes to a handful of people in the pub, your own bandmates kind of sniggering over their beers in the corner. And especially when you're not necessarily the most amazing singer in the world, it's a slightly trepidatious moment. And anyone else that has done that, has been a singer in a band, should understand that. So I would sing, because I was aware of it and wanted to, like, you know, hang a lantern on it, as they say. So I would sing this, which is Getting in Tune. Because ironically, I typically wasn't in tune, but hey, there you go. I was better than Ian Brown, I can tell you that. So here we go, Everlong and Getting in Tune. Okay, now we're up to number 14, and we have Kasabian. Kasabian, who many people felt were the heirs to Oasis' crown in the late 2000s. Incredible back catalogue. Understandable that people have voted them up pretty high when you think about some of the people they're ahead of. And I've gone with one of their bigger tunes, which is Empire, because I just think it's great. I think it was probably my favourite song of the year that came out. And no one did huge, you know, indie, dancey, rocky tunes like Kasabian did back in the day. So, love a bit of Kasabian. Too much information, well, I said you go for a fair. Come out to the back, I said, you mean let's go for something. Just stop it up. Up. That was Kasabian with Empire, and next up on the Oasis Podcast Radio Show, where we are counting down our top 20 artists and bands as voted for by the Oasis Podcast listeners, we have another tie. Our joint 12th place, we have the Manic Street Preachers, and we have Blur, arch enemies of Oasis, and yet, yes, Oasis Podcast listeners love them and have voted them into 13th place. Both the Manics and Blur are big, big bands for me. I'm surprised, actually, looking back at my top 10, I think, oh, probably could have found a space for the Manics in there somewhere. The Manics especially were really big for me. I wasn't there when Holy Bible came out. Or any of the stuff before that. For me, it was hearing about the whole Richie situation, reading about that as I was getting into the NME in sort of 94 and 95. And then when Everything Must Go came out and the build up to that and to A Design for Life, you know, you just thought, wow, this is amazing. And Design for Life was just an incredible, incredible song to suddenly like bursting out of the radio. Following that, I did then go back and listened to their older stuff and really got into them. And probably in sort of 98, 99, 2000, they're probably one of the bands, my favourite band at the time, to be honest. I was going up and driving up and down. I was at university in Leicester, and my car at the time only had a cassette player. And so there was only a handful of cassettes that I would listen to all the time. Ironically, one of them was Blur's Great Escape, and one of them was the Manics Holy Bible. So both of those got absolutely hammered as I was going up and down the M40 to Leicester every now and then. Two very different albums, but two really great albums in their own way. I mean, the Holy Bible especially, I just think is one of the most powerful records ever recorded. But I'm going to go with two very contrasting tunes. For Blur, I've got To the End at La Comédie version. So this is the B-side that they did To the End from the album. It features a small amount of Françoise Hardy, the legendary French chanteuse. But this B-side version called La Comédie features a lot more Françoise Hardy, and it features Damon Albarn singing in French, which is quite entertaining in its own way. So yeah, I love a bit of this. And also for the Manics, I was trying really hard to decide what to go with when I choosing the Manics. I spoke about the Manics a lot on the Manic Street Speakers pod hosted by Mikey, who's been on here before. And that was really good fun. And for that, when they asked me to choose my favourite Manic song, I think I chose Little Baby Nothing, actually, which I think is absolutely brilliant. But I'm not going to choose that here. I'm going to choose From Despair to Where from the Gold Against the Soul album. And the reason for that is the other day I saw on there's a new Twitter page set up about the program Game On, the 90s sitcom Game On. And and this song featured in Game On, the main character Matt is listening to From Despair to Where and jumping up and down. I just remember thinking, oh yeah, fantastic, what a tune that is. I absolutely love it. So yeah, here's a burst of magic 90s-ness from two amazing bands, Blur and the Manic Street Preachers.
Alone in my bed, I poison every room in the house. The place is quiet and so alone. Pretend there's something worth waiting for. There's nothing nice in my head. The other one took it all away. From despair.
Right, at number 11, we have Liam Gallagher. Now, he's only 1 point ahead of the Mannix and Blur. So Liam Gallagher solo, 1 point ahead of Blur, arch rivals of Oasis, as voted by the Oasis podcast fans. Very interesting to me. I suppose the issue here is that Liam doesn't really have the longevity. You know, if you're thinking about your favourite live act, you know, Liam would be, he's such an incredible performer to go and see live. And in terms of your favourite sort of icon or legend or whatever. But for a recorded history, well, he's only got 2 albums. And then, you know, a few standalone tracks. So there's not much to be going on here as compared to some of the other bands, obviously, that have done multiple albums, multiple massive songs. But yeah, obviously, he's massively popular. And 2 really, really good albums with really, really strong songs. So what I'm going to choose here is Why Me, Why Not from the album Why Me, Why Not, the title track. Because at the moment it's really been the tune with all the discussion of like mental health, with the focus on that over the last sort of few years. I think it's a really important song and a really great message. So here is Liam Gallagher with Why Me, Why Not at number 11 in the Oasis podcast listeners top 20 artists. And after this, we will be entering the top 10. Right, that was Liam Gallagher, Why Me, Why Not. And we're into the top 10, amazingly. And starting at the top 10 is Pink Floyd. Another very special band for me, another band I could easily have put in the top 10. A tough band to quantify, just they've been so different over the years, all the different albums they've put out. I'm a big fan of the early weird stuff with Syd Barrett. I really, really enjoy, as you might hear from my choice coming up shortly. But then, you know, those classic albums in the 70s with Dark Side and with Wish You Were Here. And then moving on to like The Wall. So many great albums. Understandable why people would be picking them in their top 10. But yeah, like I said, I've really got a soft spot for the early stuff with Syd Barrett. So let's go with See Emily Play, which is just a great single from a band that never really did singles after a while. And I just love the inventiveness of this. I think there was something magic in the water in like 1966 to 1968, both here in the UK and in America. And, well, it's probably LSD, to be honest, but there you go. And it's just the invention and the ideas and just the whimsical nature of it, but then the just the madness of it. I just think it's incredible. So here is See Emily Play.
Emily tries, but misunderstands. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other day. Let's try. You'll lose your mind and play.
Absolutely love it. Next up, we have at number 9 in the list, the Rolling Stones, which is understandable, as you know, one of the legendary great bands that I know people love. To be honest, they're not one of my favorite groups. I kind of get it, but it just doesn't really do it for me. I've never really liked Jagger's voice, and I'm one of these unusual people that if I don't like a person's voice, I kind of get quite turned off to it. And the sort of the kind of the white guys playing the blues thing never really enjoyed. I think that the Hot Rocks compilation, another one I had on tape, and I used to hammer that, and I think there's some great tunes on there. Stuff from the mid and late 60s like Mother's Little Helper and 19th Nervous Breakdown and tunes like that, I think are brilliant. But over and above that, not one of my favourite groups, but I understand why people love them, and they are here at number 9. There's interestingly quite a big jump then in terms of like point scoring, number of people have chose them, then to the number 8 band, which is The Smiths. And The Smiths is another group that, as I said, I'm a bit funny about voices. If I don't like your voice, then I might just sort of not bother listening to that group. And I'll be honest, that was how I was with The Smiths for many years. I just really couldn't be doing with it. My sister had played them to me quite a lot as a kid, and I thought they were all right in that sort of child way that you don't really pay attention. But then when it came to the mid-90s, I just didn't really like The Smiths. I couldn't get past Morrissey's voice. I just found it all a bit weird. I was much more into sort of the heavier, rockier kind of Oasis type band. But then over the years, I've grown to love them. And actually, now The Smiths are, you know, a band I do listen to a hell of a lot. So, interesting. So we have The Stones and we have The Smiths. So we're going to go with a couple of absolute classics, Gimme Shelter and Panic. So that was The Smiths and The Stones, and now we're on to one of the people that did make my top 10. This is David Bowie. Now, David Bowie was literally one point ahead of The Smiths, so incredible. They could have interchanged very easily, and I can understand this. Now we're getting into people that, I think a lot of people really feel an affinity for someone like Bowie or someone like Morrissey. Well, probably Morrissey from a few years ago when he was in The Smiths, where there's something special about them. You love them. They mean a lot to you. You go through, you know, it's not just about a couple of albums, but it's about who they are, how they look, what they represent. It's another level, isn't it, of passion and devotion to a certain band or artist. And that's where I think everyone now is hitting. So we've got David Bowie. How do you narrow down a Bowie choice? What I'm going to go with is one of my favourite Bowie tunes, which means a lot to me, which is Let's Dance. And the reason I've picked that is also that is a huge inspirational tune for the current era of Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, who are next up in 6th, quite a bit ahead of Bowie and very close to the act who's in 5th, which we will come to next. But yeah, Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, very much inspired by David Bowie in the last few years, and that kind of Let's Dance era, actually that sort of more poppy Bowie era. I'm going for a sort of a slightly more offbeat choice for Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds, because I did a Noel Gallagher special the other day and played loads of the big Noel songs. So we're going to go with Do the Damage, which is one of the lesser known tunes, but definitely one of my favourites. And I find it very interesting that Noel Gallagher has come into the top 10 here at number 6, whereas Liam was at number 11. Now, if you ask on Twitter, who do you prefer, Liam or Noel, you will typically get people saying they prefer Liam probably 70-30, maybe 80-20. even with the recent albums head to head, most people have favoured Liam's albums to Noel's album, and then kind of EPs that went head to head together. But so you would think that maybe Liam would have had more votes here, but I'm putting it down to that longevity. The fact that Noel has had, you know, far more songs, a couple more albums, more than Liam did. Obviously, Liam did the BDI. BDI got a few shouts, but not enough to crack the top 40. So when it comes to actually you thinking about, well, who's my favourite artist? Who do I listen to the most? I think quite a few people having that full 10 years rather than kind of 4 years history that Liam has have gone with Noel. So let's go with David Bowie and Noel Gallagher. We are into the top five now. So the top five of our Oasis podcast listeners' favourite top 20 artists. And it's an interesting one. It is The Verve at number five with 178 points, so a couple of points more than Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. Now, quite a few people kind of put The Verve stroke Ashcroft. So I've kind of counted those all for The Verve. And then about, there was another sort of four shouts as well for Ashcroft just on his own. So, but even if we added those together, if we did combine all the Ashcroft and Verve shouts, it still wouldn't have been enough to overtake the artist in number four. So it is number five. It is The Verve. If you love The Verve, then do check out the Oasis podcast episode I did a few months back with Richard, who you heard from earlier, who picked Lonely Soul. Another appearance by Richard Ashcroft, because we talked through the fact that Richard has written a book on The Verve recently, and it's interesting actually their whole career that we talked through, their run-ins with Oasis guys over the years was interesting to break down, and what a band. Urban Hymns, particularly huge album for me in the 90s, as it was for so many people. And I'm going to go with one of my favourite Verve tunes. My probably top three, I'd say, are Sonnet, Weeping Willow, and Space and Time. So I'm going to go with Weeping Willow, because it's track 8, and 8 is my lucky number. That was The Verve with Weeping Willow, and we are into the top four now. Another big jump on from The Verve to our number four artists, and it is one we've heard from before today. It is Arctic Monkeys. Very interesting that Arctic Monkeys have made the top four. By far the most recent band in this list. Everyone else, obviously you've got like Liam and Noel Gallagher, but in terms of actually how old they are and when the band started, one of the only bands, I say the only other ones that have had mentions really, DMA's got a few mentions, Cortina's got some mentions, but yeah, for Arctic Monkeys it really shows how impressive they've been over the years that they have made it to top four for Oasis podcast listeners, who, let's face it, are probably gave up on music after the 90s, primarily. And Arctic Monkeys are one of those only bands that have had that quality, that have really, you know, forced people who probably aren't as in tune to new music to stay in touch and to listen to them and to enjoy them. And I'm going to go with a tune. There's so many I could have gone with. I really like the non-album single Left Before the Lights Came On, which I think is just brilliant. It's so clever. There's loads of tracks I could have gone with, but I was listening to their debut album the other day, and Still Take You Home just jumped out at me, as I just thought, well, also imagine Liam doing a cover version of that. I just think, because the way he sings it, he sneers it with so much attitude, it just really feels like it could be a brilliant song for Liam to cover. So let's have a bit of Still Take You Home by the Arctic Monkeys, and then we will be into our top three. Here we go, top three of the top 20 artists of all time, as voted by the Oasis podcast listeners. And it's another big jump ahead, again, in terms of points, up to the third band, which is the Stone Roses. So, yeah, really impressive turnout for the Stone Roses. And just looking back, I didn't include them on my list, which I'm now thinking, oh, what the hell? I normally do, whenever I do like a top 10 or whatever, I normally do put the Stone Roses in them, because they are just such a go-to band for me. If ever I'm not sure what to listen to, it's always a great option to go for the Stone Roses. Obviously, only a very limited back catalogue, because of the fact that they only managed a couple of albums. But then there's so many incredible B-sides and other tracks that really there's at least three albums worth of great stuff there. So, amazing band with two brilliant eras. I mean, the first era is probably the best, but I still love a lot of Second Coming. I still think it's really, really special, with John Squire's ridiculous over-the-top guitar going throughout it. But they always, similar to me, I think, to The Who or to Led Zepp in terms of, or even Ocean Colour Scene, actually, in terms of four individual players that are incredible at what they do, and then when they all come together, they just make this magic. I've got to chuck them in there. Sorry, I've got to bin Marvin Gaye and get the Stone Roses in there somewhere, haven't I? But yeah, absolutely love the Stone Roses, and I'm going to go with one of my favorite songs. This is the go-to song to have playing while you're driving, windows open, and just blare this out and shout at the top of your lungs. This is the one. Okay, here we go. This is it. This is what it's all come down to. We are into the top two of the Oasis podcast listeners' top 20 bands and artists of all time, as voted for by the Oasis podcast listeners. And who could it be? Who could it be with two people left? In my top 10, I went with Oasis second and Beatles first. Is that how the people have gone? Because I'll tell you now, it is the Oasis and the Beatles, but what order have we gone with? And how close was it? Well, I can tell you that in second place, with 533 points, so almost double what the Stone Roses got, this is a big jump up from everyone else in the list up to the Beatles. In second place is the Beatles. And in first place, with 1,014 points, so double again almost what the Beatles got, and almost four times what the Roses got. Pretty much everyone had them in either one or in the top sort of five. It is Oasis. So I'm going to go with two of my favourite tunes. I'm going to go with Hey Bulldog by the Beatles, and I'm going to go with Morning Glory by Oasis. And I'll see you on the other side of this absolute magic 1-2 punch.
Sheepdog, standing in the rain. Bullfrog, doing it again. Some kind of happiness is measured out in miles.
So thank you very much, everyone, for sticking with me throughout this whole journey. I think it's been really good fun to get to talk about some of these groups and some of my favourite bands and artists, obviously, in there. Worthy winners, I think, Oasis. And personally, I don't think they are the best band of all time. I don't think they are. But you can't argue with the fact that they mean so much to so many people. There's not many bands that have got that have that impact on people, that they absolutely blow them away, or the way that they change people's lives. You know, someone like the Smiths, Bowie, we've talked about, definitely changed people's lives, and Oasis certainly changed many people's lives. If you listen to the last episode I put out, it was an interview with the comedian Rachel Fairburn, and she said that, you know, growing up, listening to that band, it just gave her so much confidence that to go out there and pursue something in life. And so she ended up as a successful stand-up comic. Without that, she said, she would have never made it, which is just amazing that they've had that effect on people. And then the Beatles, obviously, they're my number one. Every day that would have been my choice, but I completely understand the Oasis podcast fans tend to always favour Oasis, so makes sense. But yeah, for me, it would be the Beatles all day long. Anyway, that will do it for today. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thank you, everyone that voted. It was absolutely brilliant. And thank you to the guys that sent in the audio messages and requested the tunes that we played at the start. If you are listening on the Oasis podcast, then do make sure you go and check out the Barrowhouse radio version of the show. Available on Mixcloud, or it's available on my Patreon for the full version. And if you're listening on Barrowhouse Radio, then do remember to go and check out the Oasis podcast. So anyway, thanks everyone for listening. Thank you to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can support the Oasis podcast at patreon.com/OasisPod. Do please follow me on social medias at Oasis Podcast on Facebook and Twitter, and Oasis Pod on Instagram. And you can always get in touch with me, oasispod@gmail.com. All right, that'll do it for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young. Face up. So you have a Manchester band for me, Alan?
Yes, they're amazing. They're going to be bigger than you too. They're called Oasis.
Oh, Oasis. Oh, great, a reggae band. When you said Manchester, I thought it might be another post-baggy, indie, Stone Roses type group. Are they more UB40 or Aswad?
Not exactly. Anyway, let me tell you about them. They've got an incredible rhythm section. They will go down in history as one of the most powerful and exciting rhythm sections ever.
Amazing. Tell me about them.
Well, the guitarist is called Bonehead.
Bonehead?
Yep.
What, is he, like, thick?
No, not really.
Is he bald?
Not yet. He's definitely balding. Keeping it long for now, though.
Ugh.
He's a really talented musician, though. Great guitar player. Multi-instrumentalist. Can play anything.
Oh, brilliant. So we'll hear him flexing that musical creativity in the band?
No, he's only going to play bar chords. Just bar chords.
What about him being a multi-instrumentalist?
Well, maybe we could have him play the accordion on a B-side once, on the outro, as a joke.
Okay. And what about the bass player?
Oh, he's great. He's called Gwigsy.
Gigsy, like the Manchester United player?
No, Gwigsy.
Could that be confusing?
Possibly.
Anyway, what's his bass playing style?
Root notes.
What?
Root notes. He plays root notes most of the time anyway.
Really?
Well, to be fair, he only learned to play a couple of years ago. And he's normally too busy to practice.
Doing what?
Watching Doctor Who and smoking weed.
Right. So the guitarist just plays bar chords and the bass player just plays root notes. There's plenty of space for the drummer to have an expressive and fluid playing style?
Oh, not exactly.
Well, what does he do then?
He goes boom, chi, boom, boom, chi.
What?
He goes boom, chi, boom, boom, chi.
In every song?
No, of course not. Some songs he goes boom, chi, ba, boom, chi, boom.
But that's it?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Trust me, it'll be perfect for the first album. After that, they can always sack him.
Okay, as long as it's done in a quiet and fair way.
Of course, it's not like they would do it just after getting their first number one and they're about to do Top of the Pops.
Okay, what about the singer? Is he a great performer on stage?
Oh yes, he's amazing. He stands completely still.
What?
Yeah, completely still.
Right. And what's his in-between song patter like?
Yes, he talks between songs sometimes.
Right. What about?
I've honestly no idea.
Okay, but I take it he's a great singer.
Kind of.
What do you mean?
He kind of does this half growl, half whine.
Right.
And he does this thing where he unnaturally elongates the vowels sometimes.
What do you mean?
Well, for instance, he'll sing the word shine like shine.
And does he sing the word shine a lot?
More than you'd think.
Any other examples of these unnaturally elongated vowels?
Oh yes, when he sings the word lasagna, he sings lasagna.
And does he sing the word lasagna a lot?
More than you'd think. Anyway, the big thing about this band is that singer and the lead guitars are brothers.
Okay, so tell me about the brother.
Well, his name is Noel Gallagher.
I know that name. There was a roadie for Inspiral Carpets called Noel Gallagher. I think they gave him a job as a roadie after he auditioned to join the band. Imagine being so poor you can't even get in Inspiral Carpets.
Yeah, that's him.
Right. So what are his songs like?
Oh, they're amazing. What he does is takes bits of other songs. It's an ingenious idea.
But isn't that just plagiarism?
Well, it's a bit more complicated than that. Sometimes he changes the lyrics.
Right. What sort of lyrics?
Normally nicked off different songs, or sometimes he nicks stuff from adverts.
What?
Well, for example, they've got this song called Shaker Maker. It has the melody from I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing.
The Coca-Cola advert from the 1970s?
Yep. Also add some lyrics from the Tribor Softments advert.
Okay, well, as long as they don't mention the Coke thing, we might get away with it.
Yeah, they definitely wouldn't do that.
Okay, well, look, if they've got this great live sound, then we record the album, we really need to just capture that magic by getting them to record in the same room together.
No, I was thinking we could separate them out.
Right.
Make sure we lose any sort of that spirit and intensity. Don't worry, if it sounds rubbish, we can just scrap it and record it again.
Won't that cost us thousands?
Yeah, but you're a major record label in the 90s. Money is meaningless to you.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot. Wait, why did you specify it's actually the 1990s?
Anyway, the big thing is these guys have this amazing attitude. Liam has this incredibly cool walk.
Oh, what's he look like?
Kind of like if a gorilla was wearing trousers, but it shitted in the trousers.
Oh, very cool. I can imagine kids copying that in southern England, thinking they look like they have attitude, but actually looking like dickheads. So these Gallagher brothers are proud Mancunians.
Oh, yeah. Although, they'll probably have to move to London at the earliest chance.
Oh, well, that's understandable. So what's the plan?
Well, Noel's got 3 albums worth of amazing songs written.
Brilliant. So that's 3 classic albums, then.
Noel, 2.
Come again?
Well, I think we should put loads of their best songs on B-sides. They're probably scrapping the barrel after a couple of years. But by that stage, I imagine they'll be doing so much cocaine, they won't really care.
Right. So how do you see it ending?
Well, the brothers have quite a tempestuous relationship, so while that tension will likely drive the group, ultimately, it'll probably be their downfall.
How so?
Plums.
What?
Don't worry about it.
Okay, well, as you said, we are a record company in the 1990s, so we may as well sign them, as we've basically got a bottomless pit of money. I'll have to go now. I've got a call about something called the internet. Apparently some of the guys are worried that in the future, people will be able to get music for free from their computers.
What a ridiculous idea.